Hi, and welcome to the Calvary Foursquare podcast. Our goal at Calvary is to reach our community with the truth and love of Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians 2:8, it says that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. So if you would like to find out more of who we are, you can go to our new website at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or search for us on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare. Thank you for listening and enjoy the podcast.
The theme of it is all things new. You know, God is wanting to pour out new wine, but he can't pour it in old wineskins. So he's wanting to shake us. And things that we've always done, we don't even know why we did it, or he's wanting to examine motives. He's wanting to pour in new wine. Together, let's set aside intentional times each day from January 1 to January 21 to pray. Prayerfully consider what you might fast during this time. You know, everybody might have something. You know, I thought about it. He says, lay aside the weight and the sin so easily beset you. Maybe God's wanting you to fast cookies. I don't know. Go on a juice fast. He might want you to fast social media. Whatever it is that you feel like, and not to just fast it to be fast, but fast it to intentionally take that time to spend time in prayer, to seek God, to allow God to do a work in your heart so you'll be ready for 2021. I'm excited about what God's doing in 2021. You know, great speakers have given amazing TED Talks that feel life-changing. CEOs will cast vision for groundbreaking companies that disrupt whole industries and revolutionize modern life. However, an anonymous man or woman who is willing to passionately pray before a living God with unparalleled influence, people like that will change the world. Let us be that people here in Little Tipton, changing the world because of our focused prayers. We unite together for January 1 through 21. Pray for me for a clear, undimmed vision to travail that will travail in birth until Christ be formed in us. Some of us have been stuck in one place. We come to church a lot of years, but we're stuck. Are you growing? Is Jesus making you more patient and more kind? Are you getting more irritable as you get older? God wants us to get unstuck and become more and more like Jesus as we get older. We'll pray for the lost to be saved, for corruption to be exposed. His kingdom come, his will be done, for the eyes of our understanding to be flooded with light, and for the saints of God to know the hope of their calling, and every person find their place in the body, that we will function like one big combine because the fields are white, and arm in arm, loving each other, believing the best in each other, we'll take the fields. Amen. Amen. The fields are white, he said, unto harvest. Pray ye for laborers. He said, pray. Pray for leaders. Pray for people that know the hope of their calling. They're on mission to do the will of the Father. And that's what we're going to focus our prayer on. Amen. Well, that was free. I didn't plan all that. John 10. John 10, 1. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. And the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right and the power, another translation says, to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Those who believe in his name. The Passion Translation says, he entered into the very world he created, yet the world was unaware. Are you unaware? God's saying, wake up. He came to the very people he created, to those who should have recognized him, but they did not. But those who embraced him and took hold of his name were given authority to become the children of God. Amen. Amen. We're called to proclaim and to celebrate hope as the children of God because we've received an imperishable seed. Just like Mary received the seed when she said, be it done unto me according to your will. When you said, Jesus, I give you my life, you received an imperishable seed born on the inside of you, the word of God. And as we allow that seed to grow in good soil, you create space to let God tend to that soil. You pay attention to what's going on inside. You don't walk around with bitterness and resentment and anger. You pay attention. You get curious when you explode over spilled milk. You go into the throne room, you say, God, take it out of me. What is that? Show me. Put your finger on it. And he said, we're to rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. We've had a year of that, haven't we? And faithful in prayer. That's what we're called to do. It reminds me of the children of Israel in the wilderness. 1 Corinthians 10:10 says, and you must not embrace their ways by complaining and grumbling with discontent, as many of them did, and they were killed by the destroyer. Death and life is in the power of our tongue. As we've been in this time of trial and affliction, what's coming out of our mouth? It goes on to say, all the tests they endured on their way through the wilderness are an example that provides us with a warning so that we learn through what they experienced. You know, there's two ways you can learn things. You can learn from people who have been before you, or you can learn in the school of hard knocks. I've learned a lot this way, but I think I wised up after a few hard knocks and said, okay, God, I'm going to listen. For we live in a time when the ages to come is now completing its goal within us. Wow. So beware if you think that it could never happen to you, lest your pride becomes your downfall. This is a time of humbling ourselves, people. Before God, if my people called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from our wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven and heal their land. I do not want 2020 to go pass uncelebrated. We're going to finish well. Amen. The devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. God set the stage for us to slow down and be with him in 2020. Did we miss the mark? One of the biggest destroyers of a spiritual life is busyness and hurry. It's so opposite in the world. People think if they're really busy, they look really important. He came to the very people he created, and they did not recognize him. You know, when my kids were little, we'd have special days where they'd get to go out just with mom or just with dad or just with Nana, who was my mom. They'd have a special day. They loved it. Didn't matter if we were just running errands, you know. They loved to be alone with the one, especially when you have so many kids like we did, to be with mom or dad alone by themselves was a special day. Children long for that. One of the greatest privileges of the Christian faith is solitude with God. Engaging in solitude with our Creator is a life-giving celebration of his heart. Our God isn't about what we can do for him. He isn't even about fixing us, but he's all about having you. Being with his people in restored, unhindered relationship is why Jesus came to return to the garden where they walked and talked with God with no sense of guilt or shame or self-consciousness. And his name shall be called Emmanuel. God is with us. When we take time to be alone with God and simply open up our hearts and be with him, we declare to ourselves and to God that our lives are centered around him. When we simply rest in his nearness, we discover that God is far more loving than we could ever have guessed. The Christian life is not about you loving God, but letting God love you. Every other religion is man trying to reach God. Christianity is about God came to us. He became a human. He took the first step. He initiated the relationship. He wants to have you as his own. He's a jealous God. Because he wants you. He has great plans for you. I know the plans that he has are not for destruction. So many people have this mindset that God's mad and, oh, you know, we have so much shame and condemnation. We grew up shame-based. Jesus came to eradicate shame in our life. Hallelujah. That's good news. That's shouting ground. First Colossians. I was reading Colossians this morning. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't turn the thing. Okay, since we first heard about you, Paul is saying to the people in Colossae, we've kept you always in our prayers. The whole church was founded and grew because of prayer, y'all. The church is not going to grow without prayer. That you would receive the perfect knowledge of God's pleasure over your lives. There it is. You're not supposed to love him. He wants you to let him love you. We have so much self-hatred and we so much stuff that we transfer onto other people because we're not willing to just go before God and open up the gates of our heart and offer him our treasure and let him come in and help us with our struggles. Making you reservoirs as you receive his love, as you realize how valuable and precious you are to him, he will make you a reservoir of every kind of wisdom and spiritual understanding. Who wants to be that? You got to let him love you. We pray that you walk in the ways of true righteousness. So many times when we hear the word righteousness, we think about legalism. Not really, but really that's what it is a lot of times. Jesus said to the Pharisees, you go about trying to establish your own righteousness and you won't submit to my righteousness, which is a gift. You can do nothing for it. You receive it. Just like his love, it's a gift. You just receive it by faith. The disciples went to Jesus and said, what do we do to enter eternal life? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus. Solitude with God is a place of abundant joy. And it is a cornerstone of Christian spirituality. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. The heart of Jesus is marked with grace and truth. He sees you as you are, and he's come to make his home in you if you will allow him. Sometimes it helps me to take deep breaths. I breathe in his love. I breathe out my cares, my troubles, things that's trying to, like barnacles, cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things come and try to choke the word out of our heart. We have to shake it off. Simply rest in his presence. One of the greatest markers of my life is how much time simply spent enjoying the goodness of God. It's by grace you've been saved, not by works, that no man can boast. Mark. And he went up, Jesus, to the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted. He wants you. He wants you. Or you wouldn't be here today. And they came to him. Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him. Not go and work in the church and serve and do everything. No, be with him. That he might send them out to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. That's going to be a result of being with him. You want power? You just got to quit your busyness, quit rushing around, quit trying to prove that you're worth something and just receive his worth. Just be with him. And you feel like the devil will tell you, you are just wasting time. He didn't want you to be in with Jesus. That's where the power comes. You have to have a revelation. You know, there's been times I started this like when we lived in Strawberry Point and I had a bunch of little kids. The only time I could get by myself was in the middle of the night, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I would go and just sit in the presence of God, just sitting there, just receiving. And I would just start weeping and weeping and weeping because I was getting a revelation of how much he loved me. And I didn't have to do anything but receive his love. And that's when things started just falling off of me as I just worshiped him. God gave us a perfect opportunity in 2020 to stop and be with him. Did you stop and spend time with him getting to know his heart? Or were we too busy? I have to admit, being disgruntled by the circumstances and filled with fear. Been there, done that. Did we use the time at home in quarantine? Are we like the wise man and let the star guide us in pursuit of him? The Magi still pursued. They continued to pursue Jesus. And they labored to enter into rest. Pursuing requires vision. It's what we see in our minds and believe in our hearts. It's a vision that stirs us and creates this expectation in us. I want to cast vision this morning, what I believe God is calling us as a body of believers to be in this community. I believe God has brought Steve and I to Tipton and has called this church first of all to pray. My house shall be a house of prayer. Paul said, I travail in birth until Christ be formed in you. He was in prison, but he was not just sitting there. He was receiving his presence. He was laboring in birth. He was praying. God has called us to be emotionally healthy disciples. Because you can know the scriptures and not grow up. The Pharisees were a perfect example of that. Emotionally, they were so unaware what was going on inside. They had the first five books of the Bible memorized. Knowledge puffs up. Love edifies. Receive his love. There's a difference between learning and developing. I thought about the scripture. He said they were all their lifetime learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Like I said earlier, you can grow up in church but never know who you are in Christ. And I want to say on January 10th, we are going to start adult Sunday school class at 9 o'clock called Kingdom Conversations. James Richardson is going to lead that. He's an amazing teacher. You're going to have your Bible. You're going to open it up. This situation here isn't so much that you can really be discipled. You can ask questions. It'll be a time from 9 to 10 Sunday mornings that you'll really get to get in the Word, ask questions, get to know people. I'm excited about that. I believe that we are called to be a community that truly loves each other. The world will know we're his disciples because we love one another. That preaches in itself. You don't even have to say anything. If the church would just love one another. And now when the devil comes in with this division, with you've got to no mask, yes mask, no vaccination, yeah. I mean, he's wreaking havoc. Divide and conquer is his motive, and he's doing just that. But I'm going to say I will not be ignorant of the devil's devices, and he will not do that in this church. Amen? Amen. Amen. So we love one another. We wash each other's feet. How many of you know that to allow someone to wash your feet is really vulnerable? You expose the dirtiest parts of you to someone else, and they love you all the more as we wash each other's feet in the Word of God. That we speak the truth and love to one another. That we grow up. That's why the church isn't grown up. People just stuff things and they talk about them behind their back or whatever. No, we speak truth. If you see your brother overtaken in a sin, you which are spiritual, you go and restore such a one in a spirit of humility, lest you also be tempted. It doesn't say go tell your friends about it. Even to pray. No, you go to them. When you go to the altar and you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, you leave your gift at the altar and you go first and be reconciled to them. This is true spiritual love. And he goes on to say in that chapter, and you've heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But he said, I tell you, anyone who looks on a woman lustfully has already committed adultery in his heart. What's he talking about? He's talking about it's all about what's in here. We can clean up and come to church. We can put on a happy face, but Jesus knows what our struggles are. I don't care how well you can clean up. If your heart's full of judgment and self-righteousness, you're deceived. If your heart's full of condemnation and shame, you've not received his love. We've gotten so used to faking it in America. But you know what? We are all diamonds in the rough. Some of us are rougher than others. But the point is, we are diamonds. Because he's been born within us. This is part of my vision as well. He said, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. What's holiness about? It's about paying attention to what's going on inside. It has nothing to do with the outward. Philippians says, whatever is true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever is admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things about one another, I want to add. And the God of peace will be with you. But how many of you know that's like swimming upstream if you start paying attention to what you're thinking? Do you hear how you're thinking? I always said this, don't look at me in that tone of voice. You just have to believe that people are doing the best they know how. We believe the best of people. And we come up and we take them arm in arm. If you see your brother overtaken into sin, Galatians says, you which are spiritual, restore them, being very aware of your own weakness. Otherwise, take the log out of your eye. We all got logs, y'all. We all got them. I got them. So we have to daily, God, search me, break me, bend me, God. Search me, oh God. Show me my heart. I don't even know my own motives, lest the Lord show me. I was reading one time in Philippians, it says, do nothing through strife or vainglory. And I thought, my God, everything I do is strife or vainglory. See, that's repentance, just admitting it, just being aware. And it takes love and it takes courage to go to your friend who you know is being overtaken in a sin and saying, hey, I love you. Let me help you. So if this is hitting you hard, fall on the rock and be broken. That's what repentance is. We all desperately need, there is none good but God. It's just me acknowledging, God, you are right. It's not having a worm mentality. No, he made us worthy, and it has nothing to do with us. Brokenness is breakthrough, y'all. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it'll bring forth much fruit. And that's about resurrection power, not in myself. I'm not sufficient of myself to think anything of myself. My sufficiency is of God. Nothing is hid from God. We need to get honest with ourselves and each other and remove our mask. Do you know that the thing you can't tolerate in others, God just located in you? Oh, I hate that. Seriously. It's like, no way. But I'm telling you, don't blame other people because you are judgmental and you can't love them. Just ask Jesus to help you. He came to deposit his love on the inside of you, but you got to get honest. You got to repent. You got to cry out for help. Because the only way we're going to reach the next generation, which is my next point of our vision, is to have a body mature disciples, arm in arm, reaching the harvest like a big combine. The only way we're going to reach the next generation, because the next generation can spot a phony in a minute. Why do you think they're not coming to the churches? They can spot it a mile away, especially a self-righteous religious phony. And we've all been there. We've all done that. There's a Pharisee on the inside of us, all of us. At any moment, it can switch over and say, God, I thank you. I'm not like them. Repent and be the publican and say, oh, God, have mercy on me for that thought. Speaking the truth in love that will grow up, we do not need to talk about the other churches in town either. If the gospel is being preached, we're on the same team. Yes. Yes. Second is the heart of the next generation in mind. This is so important in our vision that we give ourselves to reaching the next generation in prayer, inviting them into our lives and into our homes, that we be honest with ourselves, be willing to share with the next generation our failings, invite them into your life. Let them see and hear us pray about our own desperation for God. And Luke, this really hit me. He said, many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us. Luke is talking. Just as they were handed down by us to those whom from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, the book of Luke, most excellent Theophilus, which Theophilus means lover of God, so that you may know the certainty of the things that you've been taught, since I myself have carefully investigated everything. In the beginning, when Jesus was born, walked among us, died the ultimate sacrifice, resurrected and ascended. Time had passed, and Luke, who was an eyewitness, it was important for him to sit down and write this account, and we are the benefactors. He called himself an eyewitness and a servant of the word. I love that. I want us to be thinking about, as we're ending 2020, do our part of being a servant of the word. Do our part of this history that we've lived through. We've lived through 2020. And no, we can be a servant, that we can finish well. That 2020 has been redeemed, that God is good, that he has good for us, and he's lovingly cared for us through the chaos of 2020. So we can say, God, what is my part? How can I be a servant to take the truth forward? Not be a servant of the circumstances and say what restrictions say and the news says, but to be very intentional. And what does that look like to be a servant of the word? You're called. God has commissioned you, and he has an assignment for you for a certain work. Whenever you meet another human being, this is where the work begins. Our work is people work. Our work is a broken world. Loving them, proclaiming and celebrating hope. And it goes beyond our circumstances. This prayer in Colossians, I love it. And he said, and we pray, here it goes again, prayer, that you would be enlarged with all his explosive power from the realm of his magnificent glory, filling you with great hope. Your hearts can soar with gratitude. There it is, hope and celebration. Soar with gratitude when you think how God made you worthy to receive this glorious inheritance freely given to us by living in the light. Woo! Those are, hallelujah. So our part is we have to abide in him. We have to pay attention. I know it's hard, especially when you're not used to paying attention to your emotions. Not used to taking responsibility for your temper. John says, you are the anointed one. Our job is to serve a broken world. And that's part of being a servant of the word. It's loving people. One thing that really strikes me is that Luke is also wrote the book of Acts. Luke was a doctor, so they say. That tells that Luke probably was not an artistic, creative, intuitive, spontaneous human being. His goal was to write an orderly account. That's not me. I'm the other. He writes Luke and he writes Acts as two pieces of history. He wants to make sure that the story of Jesus is not lost in mythology, but that it's grounded in history, because he was an eyewitness. He knows that the life of Jesus was so extraordinary and the things that he did were so unbelievable, beyond imagination or comprehension. He wanted to make sure that the generations later, the people were not simply telling myths or stories about this man named Jesus. He wanted to make sure that Jesus, that we were rooted in real time, real moment in history. So he tells us, he wanted to leave us an orderly account. And then he writes to Theophilus, which means lover of God. He writes to this person who's a lover of God. He might not even be a person who yet believed in Jesus. But what you find was around the time of Jesus, there's a movement of people who are trying to make sense of life, trying to make sense of God and leaning into the law and the prophets and scriptures, waiting for this Messiah. And Luke is writing and saying, if you actually have your heart inclined toward God, I want to leave you the history, not the story, but history of what God did in real time and real space. And that for me becomes powerful. Because sometimes when you're in a moment in life and you're wondering, does God really know what he's doing in this moment? I mean, we never say that out loud. But the way we show it is we're not able to trust God. We're not willing to trust God when the going gets rough. 2020 has been one of the most unexpected and devastating years for a lot of people. And we're still on the crest of the momentum of a really challenging time in history. As you're living through this moment, may you feel, or if you feel trapped in this moment, but I want you to realize that there's going to be a day when you're going to look back on this moment and you're going to tell the story of how God met you in this moment. Please do not waste this moment with griping and complaining. Everything that you do right now is making history. So in the year 2025, or in 10 years from now, we get to tell that story and write an orderly account of what God did in this moment in history. We get to be both an eyewitness and a servant of the word. That was the language that Luke used. Whenever God acts in your life, you get to be an eyewitness of the proof and reality of God. But when you experience God, it's not just for your benefit. You're not just experiencing the goodness of God and his intervention for you. It's for you to be a servant of truth. So we need to pick up our pens and make sure our soul is the parchment where God can write the story of his intervention. And each one of us need to make sure that we're telling an orderly account of God's works in us. 2 Corinthians 3:2 says, it says, for your very lives are our letters of recommendation, permanently engraved on our hearts, recognized and read by everyone. Your life is being read by everyone. You are living letters written by God, not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. So maybe the question for me is, what is the story that I've written on my heart for 2020? Am I trying to write history of a year without God for the generations to come? As if God was absent? That I spent most of the year worrying and in fear? That I just survived that moment? I struggled through it? I was sophisticated? I was barely breathing? Or are you allowing God to write through your life how good he is, even in the middle of a pandemic? And how powerful he is in your life? But it's not over yet. So if we had a rough start and a rough middle, we have an opportunity to make a great ending. And after all, you know that every great story has a shaky middle. The hero always has a shaky middle. It's how the story ends that really matters. It's how you finish that makes it powerful. You can finish this month in history of God meeting you in this moment. And in this time, if Jesus was just a story, it'd be the most inspiring story ever written. And I love great stories. They inspire me to love or inspire me to dream big dreams, inspire me to courage. Stories can have power to them, but a story can never be as powerful as history. And if in this moment, your story is rooted in reality, you can become the proof of God's presence in the middle of protest. In the middle of questioning the authenticity of a democracy that's brought on depression and despair and suicide. You can be proof of God's presence in the middle of a global pandemic. And this is the cause of pandemic has caused more fear and uncertainty in the world. The quarantine has cost us so much of our assumed freedoms. But we can turn that on the enemy by not letting him steal our joy. I will celebrate 2020. And he can't steal your joy. He can't have your goods. In this moment that God is wanting us to be writing the history that needs to be lived out right now, you and me together need to be eyewitnesses of God's activity and servants of that reality. So are you willing to meet God in this moment? And then allowing God to use you to those who are struggling right now, those who feel alone, or overwhelmed with loneliness, to have someone close enough to them when they ask, where is God now? They can actually look at you. They can look at us. They can read the story of our lives and know that God is here in this moment. In this way, we're all supposed to be like Luke. We are to be writing orderly accounts of God's activity in our life. God is grounded in this moment, y'all. He is still on the throne. He is here with us. But we've got to ground ourselves in him, or this moment will overwhelm you. But when you're grounded in his presence and the reality of who Jesus is, there is no moment in history that you will ever have to write without the proof of God with us, Emmanuel. And there might be people right here, right now, or on Facebook that you've joined today, and it's the first time. You're looking for some hope, some peace, some joy in your life. But I want you to know that the reason that I'm doing this is because Jesus has changed my life. I've had a life-changing encounter with the living, risen Christ. And it wasn't in ideal circumstances that Jesus came to me. In the middle of my own pain and uncertainty and confusion. So I know that with absolute certainty that wherever you are, whatever this moment looks like for you right now, God is just a breath away. He's just a prayer away. And if you're ready to put your trust in Jesus and you're tired of struggling through life alone, I want to invite you to open up your life to Jesus and let him bring to you the forgiveness that your soul longs for, the freedom that you were created for, and the future that only God could imagine for you. So I want to lead you in one simple prayer, just one sentence. Jesus, I give you my life right now. Just tell him. That simple declaration spoken from a heart is a transference of a relationship that God gives you, his life, in exchange for yours. The story of Jesus is God coming into human history for us. And the story of Christmas for you is God coming to dwell within you, giving you his life, the great exchange, your life for his life. But you have to humble yourself. You have to be willing to lose your life to find it. When you reach the end of your hoarded resources, the Father's full giving is only begun. A lot of times the hard part is getting to that end of your hoarded resources. Because we're so self-sufficient. We have so much that we depend on. We don't have to go to God. The last scripture here says, and we pray, here it is again, that you would be energized with all his explosive power from the realm of his magnificent glory, filling you with great hope. Your hearts can soar with gratitude when you think how God made you worthy to receive the glorious inheritance freely given to us by living in the light. Amen. Let us know if you made this choice today, whether you're on Facebook or send a message, or whether you're here today. You can't do this alone. Jesus wants us to be a body, supporting one another, loving one another. You can tell the worst about yourself and be loved all the more. That's my vision for this church. And in tune, that will be so attractive to the next generation. No hypocrisy, no mask, no pretense. Just be who he is, because if you ain't who you is who you ain't. Where'd that come from? It must have been when you getting up here. So God loves you. Receive his grace, his love. You are worthy, not because of you, but because of him, and you're in him. So Father, I thank you today. If you need prayer today, please come up. Don't leave here without getting prayer. If you confess your faults one to another, pray one for another that you may be whole, you may be healed. God is here, Emmanuel.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to hear more of our messages or find more information on who we are, you can find us at TiptonCalvaryFoursquare.com or on Facebook. Just search Tipton Calvary Foursquare Church. Thank you again for listening, and have a good day.